We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Brent Musburger joins us now on The Score. How's it going, Brent?
How are you guys?
We're outstanding, Brent.
Hey, do I remember smoking a cigar with you once upon a time?
Yeah, we got thrown out of a bar in Seattle.
Yeah. Last cigar I ever smoked, Dan, I gave it up. I couldn't be kicked out of saloons. I need my Irish whiskey, you know what I'm saying?
You look like a man who appreciates good whiskey.
Thank you, sir. But I fear inebriation may cause me to forget my manners in such fine company.
That was it. I said, no, I like alcohol better than I like nicotine. I mean, it came down to that. It was a tough choice. But,
what's your drink of choice?
Bushmills, okay? Love Bushmills out of Ireland, lad.
You get it, James.
Bushmills, okay?
That's Protestant whiskey.
Price is right, ain't it?
Make it neat.
If they don't have Bushmills, I'll say, give me a little Jameson's.
Rocks or straight up?
Straight up, baby. Water chaser on its side.
Straight up.
And on St. Patty's Day, forget the water. Just give me a cold beer, you know what, straight from Dublin, my friends. That's the only way to wash it down.
I'm going to get me a whiskey, Doc. You want a whiskey?
No, I do not want a whiskey.
Maybe as far as steadying the hand.
Whiskey does not steady the hand. It just dulls the worry over the hand's unsteadiness.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. New in the afternoons, 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thank you for being with us, McNeil and Parkins on The Score, brought to you by Discover Card. Discover Card will match all the cash back new card members earn at the end of their first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Believe we still have not heard the cue to call from Ron Coomer and Pat Hughes. So you still got a shot to qualify to win Cubs season tickets. Unbelievable prize. So you'll hear Lucas Giolito if you missed it earlier, coming up around 5:30. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes at the end of the hour. Just heard Jay Billis on Loyola, Nevada. Do we want to make a wager on the Ramblers at +1, +1.5?
Again, the maximum dollar amount on homer plays, as we define them, or action to have action,
yep,
$25. So if you want to put our $25 winnings on Loyola from round one, let's do it. I don't feel good about it.
Neither do I.
You want to not do it then?
Probably.
Okay, let's pass.
Let's pick another game.
Michigan's laying 2.5 tonight.
We already got investment there, right?
That's correct.
We're already rooting for them because of the 16-1.
Wow, look at your discipline. I'm amazed.
I personally will be laying the 5.5 with Kentucky and taking the 6 with Florida State for my personal money. So, Shep, Mac, if you want to pick one of those sides and put $25 on the show pot, feel free. But those will be the two games that I am personally invested in tonight.
Shep's been pretty good at this stuff, so I'm going to trust his judgment because I am nothing if not deferential and willing to go with the flow. So I'll let you guys decide, and when Daddy's done at 6 o'clock, I'll punch in the play.
The thing that scares me on this is that I was all over Michigan, but what I've seen so far from Texas A&M and also what Jay Bill has had to say from earlier in the week has me scared to death about Michigan's chances today, and I'm very tempted to put down on Texas A&M. I know that gets into hedge territory a little bit, but from...
We're not hedging Michigan in the Sweet 16. Come on.
Well, that's a big-ass payoff if we hit on that.
That's true.
But that Texas A&M, everything Billis said has me thinking that they have a damn good shot to win that thing straight up. Not just a 2.5-point play, but like a money line play I'd be tempted on A&M.
Well, that's not fun.
Why is that not fun?
Because we're rooting for Michigan for the big payoff.
I know.
So
what? I just like being right.
It's a hedge.
It's a cowardly hedge. It's too early to hedge. It's the Sweet 16.
I get that, but I didn't think they'd be playing Texas A&M either. But
they're favored. Eh. I veto that.
Okay.
Kentucky, Kansas State.
Shep, pick.
KU is 5.5.
UK.
UK, sorry.
It's okay. KU plays tomorrow night against Clemson.
And you said personally you're taking Kentucky in that one?
Personally, I'm laying it with Kentucky, and I'm taking it with Florida State.
I would be more willing to get on board with Kentucky there.
All right. There we go. Mac?
I kind of lean that direction as much as I hate Calipari.
Let's take the Loyola winnings and put it on the Blue Blood, so we got a little bit of show action tonight laying the 5.5.
Okay. Or we could play the money line at 255. Just win.
If you want to do that, you can make that decision for the grand total of 12 bucks.
Yeah. I got the shoe mechanic from him. The dismissive mechanic. I love it.
Well, we are, you know, I think in some ways we're doing what a lot of people do with the tournament, right? We're betting to keep it interesting. And I wanted to pose this to you guys in the audience. Is March Madness the only postseason tournament, postseason thing in sports that gets worse as it goes? Because I would say yes. And I love it.
Danny, until 7 or 8 years ago, the Super Bowl was the most anticlimactic game of the NFL calendar every year.
That's interesting.
That's changed, though.
But there's always so much pomp and circumstance
around the
Super Bowl.
But
the
game itself, I thought you were talking about the games themselves.
Sure.
I don't, if it's just the game, you might be right. But the excitement level on Final Four Saturday
is pretty good.
Yeah.
But to me, what the problem with, and I love the tournament, right? I'll watch it all. But at the beginning, 64 teams going down to 16 over the course of 4 days. You've got all of those fan bases invested, and no one's torn up their bracket yet, right? So it's like the absolute general, like, casual sport fan event, because everyone's got a bracket. Everyone's got an office pool. Most people can find some connection to some team because there's 64 in it. But now we don't really have games that are on at the same time. Tonight it'll just
be
two games. Then with the Elite Eight, they're standalone games. Final Four, standalone games. Then you're just watching college basketball. And now you're watching college basketball with huge stakes, but if you get a bad game or a poor level of play, it really takes some of the enjoyment. Whereas in the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament, you got four games going on at once. You get one or two blowouts, no big deal.
Well, you could say that about the NFL, though. None of the playoff games have multiple games going on at the same time. They're all on the island.
They are, but it's such a higher level of competition. I generally speak, you're getting
wild card Saturday morning's pretty good.
Okay, yeah, the Saturday game where you get that Raiders Texans game from a few years ago who was the quarterback?
Any Texans game? No, Texans Bengals every year.
Texans.
Those ones are all brutal. Besides the J.J. Watt play the one year,
right? We've seen Brian Hoyer in that game. We've seen T.J. Yates in that game.
T.J. Yates out of North Carolina State, I think, didn't light it up that game, but he played serviceable enough to make it an interesting game.
Mac, be careful! Stop trying to carry water for T.J. Yates.
Yeah.
Listen to yourself.
We know you're an NFL fan, boy.
Good Lord.
Come on over there.
Texan.
Who was the Raiders' backup quarterback in that game? Was it Matt Moore who started a playoff game? Was it McGloin? Which Raiders' backup got into that game against the
McGloin
Texans?
McGloin sounds right.
And he started
He's
the
a kid
game.
From Penn State, right?
Yeah. He was Derek
was
Carr
McGloin.
Was hurt, and they still made the playoffs.
He was the fat guy in the town, too, wasn't he? McGloin?
Yeah, I believe.
Wasn't that his name? Only in Boston does a guy have a name like McGloin. Wasn't that the line?
You're just.
I'm sorry.
I think
Whiplash.
So. But you're just such an idiot.
I know.
Because you just watched the movie. It's like you watched Draft Day last night. So you're like, I can't waste this time. I got to do a segment on Draft Day the next day. Danny references the town. You're like, I just watched the town. We got to talk about the town. Like, I'm learning how your brain works, and it's beautiful.
It's not so good.
It's okay. It's totally fine. But no, I feel like as the NFL playoffs go on, the teams that are there, generally speaking, sure, it's single elimination, but generally speaking, they're the best teams who are playing the best at that time.
Correct. And Championship Sunday always is exciting.
Exactly. And the Super Bowl, because of everything around it, I find it to be pretty much universally satisfying, because you get the commercials and you get the halftime show and you get the build up and you get the
singing and the dancing and the shaking of the tuckies.
Exactly. I go a little grandfather on you there. So to me, the NCAA tournament, while I still am invested totally, I think the numbers bear it out that it gets a little bit like the, in general, America loses interest with the tournament as it goes on.
That's not true
of the other playoffs.
It's similar to a parade, isn't it? It's very exciting at the onset of it, and then after you've seen the eighth fire truck go by, okay, can we go now?
Yeah, because, I mean, no one ever says, like, you know what I got to do? And I know the games are at night, so this is a poor analogy, but like, no one ever says, like, I got to take off the Friday of Sweet 16.
I've never heard that said anywhere.
No one ever is like, the greatest weekend in sports is the Final Four weekend. No one ever says that. Now, Final Four into national championship, into the Masters, like, it's a cool run for Shep.
Well, also, opening day right there. Also, like, opening day this year is on a Thursday, but usually it's Championship Monday. And that is at the end of opening day for baseball. So you get the excitement of baseball, and you're like, oh, yeah, that basketball game's tonight. Remember 3 weeks ago when we loved this?
Right. Seriously. It happens every year.
It does. It gets eaten up by baseball when they coincide, and there's no doubt.
He's totally right. And I've always thought that was kind of weird because I love March Madness.
How much of when they get to the Final Four, though, is dependent on team?
Huge.
You get couple number ones, you get blue blood in Kentucky, say you get Michigan, or say you have an underdog that's not Loyola that's there. Obviously, we're going to be interested if Loyola's there because of the Chicago ties, but say it's anyone else really from that region that's not one of the blue bloods that gets through.
See, I
like, does it have to be for you to draw big time interest on that Saturday? Does it have to be the Kansases, the Kentuckys, the Villanovas at this point?
No, the Final Four, like Max said, Final Four Saturday with the games being back to back, I'm pretty much always there for, because any story is awesome. Like, it's the blue blood story, or it's like if Cinderella pulls
Butler,
it off.
Gonzaga, smaller schools who don't get there perennially.
Yeah, when Butler and Duke happened, I don't think Duke carried the ratings, but Butler was like, oh my God, like, Butler's in the national.
What about like George Mason when that was the Final Four, 10 years ago now? And that Final Four was just god awful. You're like, all right, Cinderella's here. And Cinderella needs to take her ass home.
It's true. Most people like Cinderella for the opening weekend, and then they want the good teams to play on Final Four because George Mason can get blown out in that game, and you don't feel like they can actually win the title. So it's a weird dynamic that I think, unless you guys can give me another example, and I reject your Super Bowl premise.
And it's not like, you know, me to throw darts at the NFL either. Yeah. It's just there were so many bad Super Bowls for so long, but that's gone away, really, since the 09 Super Bowl. The Steelers and Cardinals with Santonio Holmes making that spectacular catch, which went to review, shockingly, in the NFL. They've been pretty close almost every year since. Almost. Not every year.
I would argue with you, Mac, that the 90s Super Bowls until Favre and Elway, I thought they sucked up leading up until that. Because you had the Bills get close and miss on the Norwood one. And they got run by the Redskins.
Yep.
Cowboys beat their ass 2 years in a row. The Niners beat the hell out of the Chargers. Like, they were awful growing up.
Yes, they were.
Like, it was so exciting. Oh, Super Bowl's here. All right, halftime's here, and this thing's over. Outside of when Neil O'Donnell broke my heart in fourth grade, but that's a different story for a different day.
You guys are talking. We're talking about two separate things, though, and sorry about Neil O'Donnell.
Larry Brown loves you.
Great Super Bowl MVP, Larry Brown. One of the more anonymous Super Bowl MVPs ever. You just, the interest was always highest for the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl. But the interest.
But you had that until the AFC and Elway had that upset. The belief was, all right, NFC Championship is your makeshift Super Bowl. Super Bowl will get the hype and the glitz and the glamour and all that, but you know who's going to win. Pretty much was the idea with that until the Broncos and the AFC finally stopped whatever, 15 years? How long was the streak that the NFC won that game? It was long, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was very long. The ratings will be the highest for the championship game, of course. I'm not doing it by television ratings, but in terms of the bigness of the event, it feels to me like interest goes down as more teams get eliminated in the NCAA tournament, but interest goes up in all of the other sports.
Let's blame it on our friend.
Who's that?
Gambling. People threw their brackets away after that second day of the tournament.
Yeah, I think that's
people
a huge part of
it. People lose interest because they're done. I'm out. Yeah. Even the two or three bracket players.
I think that's a huge part of it. How big of a story do you think it'll be? Because Loyola's got a legitimate shot. They are a 1.5-point underdog for – they will be playing to go to the Final Four. Like, if they win tonight, Saturday, Loyola basketball plays for the rights to go to the Final Four. That is an insane thing.
Yeah, I never thought I would see it. I'm not even old enough to remember when Loyola was there in 63 and won a national championship. I was 2 years old, so
right.
No one ever spent a day thinking about Loyola basketball when I was growing up.
That's the type of thing that I think we will get into. Like, I don't know about how much on this show, but like personally, as someone who loves like the pageantry of college sports for the fans, like if you are one of those people that actually is not a bandwagon jumper with this.
Yeah, Tanny's going to dress up in, like, he's going to paint himself maroon when he walks in tomorrow. It's going to be a thing that greets us.
But for Mully?
Mully was wearing his shirt today, his Loyola shirt, proudly. I saw him around 10 after 10. He's very spirited.
Good for him. Like, I would assume if Loyola makes the Final Four, I would think that Mully would consider taking off of work and going.
I doubt it.
Really? I don't know him at all, but I would think that would happen.
I doubt it. He spent so many years traveling to cover sports. I think he's a little bit exhausted. Plus that 3 o'clock wake up every day.
That takeoff.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's a really cool.
That's probably like the one team he still holds like near and dear, though. Wouldn't it be? The Sox, I guess, are. He's covered the Bears long enough that he doesn't probably have like the fandom thing.
More business.
He doesn't talk about Loyola until now. Talks about the Sox. Talks about all the Chicago.
Well, there's
teams.
A reason for that. He wants those more.
Well, correct. I get. Yeah, I'm saying, but he hasn't like been worn out by it in any way. Fandom hasn't been tainted at all.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm an educated man, but I can't speak intelligently on Mike Mulligan's travel habits and desire to travel.
don't compliment yourself too hard there, buddy. I'm just saying there's something unique about like an alma mater going in this direction, and I also think it's a – we don't ever admit it. We all say March Madness is amazing, or at least Shep and I do.
That seems to be the common thought. And then after the first weekend, it kind of, okay. Yeah. Unless your pool is going. Well, I'm curious,
like, what TV rating, I guess I can look this up as I say it, but what TV ratings would be, not for the Final Four necessarily, because that's the grandest stage of college basketball, but say opening night, Thursday night, Friday night of the tournament versus Sweet 16 nights, tonight and tomorrow night. How do ratings do for CBS, TBS, or TNT?
It's a good question. I would guess that opening weekend is bigger than this weekend, but then Final Four and Championship is bigger than all of it on like a game-by-game basis. That would just anecdotally, as someone who watches and follows the media pretty closely. And that's totally unique because every other sport, it goes in the other direction.
Yep. You're right about that.
Right?
You're right.
Every other one. Now, people say, well, the World Series doesn't get good ratings. Sure. But it still gets bigger ratings than the NLCS or the ALCS.
And it also depends on how close the series is.
Yeah. And it's right. Series versus single elimination is a different thing. But no, I feel like it's a singular thing in sports.
Maybe this is a reach because it's a very, I don't know, it's not a huge sport necessarily. Compared to like when you say college basketball, NBA, but NASCAR starts with the Daytona 500, and that's their Super Bowl.
Right.
And now they have the championship that I don't even know how it works at the end of the year, of their little playoff or whatever it is. But
I'm not a very educated man, but I don't know really.
Correct. But like that is their Super Bowl right at the start of the year, and it's boom, straight off a cliff seemingly.
What,
I can't speak intelligently about NASCAR fans and their viewing habits, and I'm okay with that.
Me too.
I'm really good with that.
Me
Cole
too.
City showing up in the boy.
Keep making left-hand turns.
So are we betting on Kentucky?
let's keep our interest. Let's bet Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, baby.
Yeah. Better bet them all. You're talking me out of even going home and turning on the TV.
I'm not going to talk anybody on anything.
He's hitting me.
Max's going to watch Draft Day again tonight.
I can't wait for
Draft Day. Oh, give it a fifth spin.
Draft Day 2, when they decide to move Ray Jennings, Cleveland royalty.
Kevin Costner's fired for a draft that sucked ass.
Sonny!
Have you watched the DVD extended features? I'm just curious.
That's tonight's assignment.
Yeah.
Special commentary.
Yeah, the commentary. Director's cut.
Jennifer Garner takes you inside her role as the bimbo in bookkeeping.
If you missed, I didn't see it going that direction. If you missed Lucas Giolito, I think Lawrence might be right in terms of best athlete interview in the city. We had a great conversation with him. We'll bring you the best of it coming up. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, David Schuster. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes in a bit. And you got a shot to win a qualifying spot for Cubs season tickets between now and 6 o'clock. This segment is brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medications and testing supplies. Lawrence and Bruce Levine in the last week have said that Lucas Giolito is the best athlete interview in town. We had him on the show, and it certainly did not disappoint. You can hear it for yourself. We began talking about how successful he's been, a 2.04 ERA in four starts, over 17 and two-thirds innings pitched, or 17 and two-thirds exactly, so far this spring. So it begins with Lucas Giolito talking about his successful spring.
Yeah, I was able to accomplish a lot of the goals I set for spring training, worked on a few of my pitches, and was able to kind of get them going and feel confident with all my stuff.
What's the thing you feel like you've accomplished most this spring?
One of my big goals was getting better with my curveball, throwing it with a better shape, and then I'm also throwing it for strikes better. And I've been able to do both of those things this spring, and I'm looking forward to carrying it into the season for sure.
And how did you do that?
Just working on the off season, you know, watching a lot of video of my outings in AAA in the big leagues last year, kind of seeing how it was popping out of my hand, how I was kind of pulling off some of them. Just coming into the off season, working on getting consistent release point with it, and then coming to spring, talking to Coop about it, and you know, working from there. And so it's in a pretty good spot.
The mental side of baseball is always the toughest, because like we can all watch and see you guys perform, and then we can look at the numbers and see how you are performing, but we can't know what's going on between your ears. So what is your confidence level like heading into the season?
Very, very high. I think that to be a really good starting pitcher in the big leagues, you have to have kind of unwavering confidence, super high confidence. No matter if your previous start you got hit around or you walked a few guys, you know, it's kind of like a reset. Every fifth day you go out, you start the game, you have a chance to go out and give your best performance, give the team a really good chance to win. So you just have to go out there with unwavering confidence every single time.
So what do you think, you know, we know about team goals and all of that, but individually, what do you think that you can accomplish this year?
Personally, I'd say I want to throw 200 innings. I feel like that's important as a starting pitcher, is to go out there and throw as many innings as possible. And I mean, from there, if you're throwing 200 innings, you're probably doing something right. Or a few things right. So just fill up the strike zone, continue to do what I'm doing. You know, I don't want to overcomplicate things. I just want to go out there and give my best effort every single time out.
Lucas, our texters are all kind of saying the same thing. Wow, this dude's only 23. Great delivery. Sounds like a future leader. I mean, James Shields is the leader now, but is that a role that you see yourself embracing as you go throughout your career?
Yeah. You know, I said that Shields is our leader for sure. But at the same time, all the young guys were learning about those leadership traits and trying to start to utilize some of those, so we can all be kind of like little leaders in a big team and be able to help each other out in all sorts of different ways. So I'm definitely learning as much as I can about being a that kind of leader, and then hopefully in the future kind of step into that role at some point.
Away from baseball, you've mentioned golf and video games. What else makes Lucas Giolito happy when he's not wearing a uniform?
those are two of the main ones for sure. I'd say, what else? A little bit of movie and TV stuff. You know, coming from entertainment family,
right,
with my mom, grandfather, uncles. You know, kind of goes across the board. I do like to watch and analyze some TV shows and movies from time to time.
What movie genre is your favorite?
Probably drama.
Okay, Human
yeah.
Condition pictures.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh,
did
yeah.
you have a rooting interest in this year's Oscars?
Somewhat. I was a fan of Lady Bird. I was a fan of what else? Man, it's like they're
three
all
billboards.
Me.
Three billboards outside.
I did not see three billboards. I heard it was. I heard it was awesome. Kind of like emotionally fueled movie.
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah. Frances McDormand was terrific.
Yeah, I really liked Get Out. I thought that was, you know, super interesting out there. But yeah, I didn't see too many movies that were on the Oscar list.
What's on, you know, the list? I know the toughest question maybe is what's your favorite movie? We had three or four of your favorite movies ever.
Favorite movies ever. Saving Private Ryan. The first half of Full Metal Jacket.
The first half. Yes. Yeah. Stanley Kubrick made two
Stanley
movies
Kubrick.
In one.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
second half is so disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, I think both are pretty disturbing, but the first half I think is just a better overall movie. Man, what else?
You like gangster movies, Goodfellas, stuff like that.
Yeah. Goodfellas, okay. Casino. Those are great ones.
We ever going to see you in a cameo then at some point with all this acting in your background?
Yeah, hopefully. I'll have to see what my agent can do for me, but maybe do a little bit more on the field first.
Right. So what show do you want a cameo in? Like, dream scenario, where do you want to be?
What show? Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David. I think Larry David's hilarious.
My guy. Best comedy of all time.
It's shot like right in my neighborhood too, or where I grew up. Not anymore.
Wait, but and your grandfather was in Seinfeld, right?
Seinfeld, yes.
And have you not seen Seinfeld?
I've seen episodes here and there, but I've never like sat down and been like, all right, I'm going to start Seinfeld season one and watch it all the way through.
I mean, you know, Larry David created it. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah, I know.
It.
No, of course. Yeah, I know. Everyone that I talk to is like, you have to see Seinfeld if you like Curb so much, and especially since my grandfather was in it. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to sit down and just start crushing a sitcom.
Right, a lot of episodes to catch up on at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
That was Lucas Giolito with us earlier today on the McNeil and Parkins Show. You can find the full interview at 670thescore.com/McNeilandParkins. And that's also where you can find our conversation with Cubs fifth starter Tyler Chatwood, who also joined today's program. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes ahead of his night show coming up. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, Lawrence.
Lawrence Holmes in studio with McNeil and Parkins on the Score. You weren't lying about Lucas Giolito, man.
I'm trying to tell you.
I mean, I had heard him in other places, but like, Sam Acho, to me, would probably be my nominee.
He's a good nominee.
Yeah. Kyle Hendricks is in that conversation for
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. And the stuff that you guys did with him in Arizona was fantastic. Like, I took chunks of it because it was so interesting hearing him talk about his changeup.
Yeah.
Like that type. But Giolito, he listens to your questions. He gives thoughtful answers. He's got a personality.
It's a conversation, too. Like, he forces it to be a conversation instead of an interview. And I guess the only slight amendment I'd say is, like, if you wanted to do it by age, right? Like, pound for pound, Allen Iverson was maybe the most talented basketball player ever. By age, he is absolutely the best athlete interview in the city. 23 years old, man. It's very impressive.
It's my understanding that when we start interviewing Blackhawks players again in 3 years, we'll be dying to talk to Alex DeBrinket.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He's a good kid. No one's interested in talking to him right now, though, other than the beat guys, I would suspect.
Let's put him on.
You want to try him?
I'm always down for the biographical interview, okay. Get to know the players.
It's actually a good time to do it, considering that there's, you know, there's not a lot going on.
But, you know, you're right about that. And, you know there's not a lot going on when a guy starts referencing one of his partner's wardrobes. But I can't help but suspect, looking at you, for those of you who can't actually see the show right now, Lawrence is wearing an Alabama Crimson Tide sweatshirt.
Roll Tide.
And I am betting that you bought those shoes or that shirt because of the perfect match of colors. That's not an accident, mister.
Well, what happened is I've got a pair of kind of crimsony Air Maxes, and I fell in love with the shoes first. It actually is just happenstance that it
is. Is it really?
Yeah. It works out really well because it's almost a perfect match.
It is. It's right on.
But I hadn't had a pair of what my mother would call clown shoes in a while. And I saw these Air Maxes and I was like, I have to have them. So I got these. And then, of course, I just got the sweatshirt a couple days ago.
Tennis shoes right now, a good pair of Nikes, almost across the board, $80 or more.
Yeah, and I actually got these for about 55.
Did you really?
The Nike outlet on 87th and Cottage Grove, man.
What's your favorite year of Air Maxes? Because I have multiple pairs of the 09s. It's the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn.
Oh, man. See, here's the thing. I'm a lot older than you, Danny.
So, I didn't know you were an Air Max guy. It's the best shoe I've ever worn.
The thing is that I'm an Air Max guy mostly, and I'm an Air Force One guy.
Stylistically, so, those are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The Air Force Ones, though, I've always felt are a little heavy. Like when it's strange because I spend a lot of time in running shoes. And now, like, I wear Nikes as like shoes. So if I run, I run in Brooks's.
Oh, okay.
So like I take that fairly seriously.
I'm not a runner.
No?
Yeah, I know. Surprising, right?
You run to the gas station to get rolling papers every
yeah,
now
yeah.
And
why exactly. Not? I'll hustle a little bit. It's a speed walk.
There's I gotta tell you her name. I can't remember her name. There is a woman on Instagram that paints Nikes. Like, you can have them custom painted. She does like incredible art with the shoe. So let's say that I wanted to have Alabama, like I wanted to straight up make these Alabama. She could give me like the script A, like on there, and it'll look like it came from the factory. It's amazing stuff. I would honestly, like, the first pair of shoes that I truly fell in love with were the old Scottie Pippen Air Maxes. I want to say circa like 94, 95, around there. And I had those I wore those shoes out. I loved them. They were black and gray. Had
the big writing on it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, those shoes are incredible.
I love those. So between me and my wife, like, we have our gym shoe collection is pretty sick, and it's mostly hers.
Really?
Like, mostly she has a pair of Dunk wedges.
See, that's awesome.
Here's a surprising little factoid for you. Do you know that men spend more annually on shoes than women?
I'm not surprised by that.
I was shocked by that when I read it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because you think of women, they're so obsessive with their shoes.
The sneaker culture, it's...
Yeah, when I buy a pair, I buy three pair. I don't just buy one. It's like when I go, I'm
loading
up.
You're going to wear them out.
Yeah.
I actually think that makes a lot of sense. And even with you trying to figure out style, like, you use the Steve Jobs thing as a template where he found something that he really liked. He's like, okay, here's my look. This mock turtleneck and jeans, and that's it. And I don't have to waste any mental space on trying to dress up. I feel like I have a pretty good, like, short game and long game. The short game being jeans and a hoodie. My long game being when I put on suits. My mid-range game is terrible.
Sure.
It's absolutely terrible.
Like, out to dinner.
Yeah. It's terrible.
You need to visit the Tootie Cicero collection sometime very soon.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, like, with suits, I get it. Like, I know how I want to look when I do television and stuff. Like,
you're a pocket square and tie guy, right?
Well, here's how that happened. I was not really a pocket square guy, but I did the show at Channel 5 with Brandon Marshall for 2 years. And he was like, why aren't you wearing a pocket square? And I was like, why would I wear it? And he's like, it just makes the tie pop. And really, I said, okay. So he bought me 2 pocket squares to make sure that I had one for a sports Sunday.
Nice.
And then I said, I get it. And I started wearing them obsessively. So now, for the most part, I don't wear a suit without one.
Here's the question of the hour. Can the Loyola Ramblers survive their 35-minute detour en route to their destination?
Did you hear how Porter talked about the bus?
No.
It was a bus ride from hell.
It's like, you know, it was our first, you know, first set of adversity. It's like a couple of turnovers. I'm like, and he wasn't kidding. Like, it was just like, okay.
I covered the NCAA tournament in the Final Four in Atlanta a few years ago, and the media bus got lost on the way from, nice, you know, from the hotel.
Must have been a member of the media driving it.
And I mean, it was just, it was so close. Like, Phillips Arena was like so close. I'm like, how did we get lost? Like, could you imagine someone who, ideally, the person that's driving the bus is from the city that
you're in. Usually that's the case. They usually don't give the keys.
No reason to import that
job. Could you imagine someone getting lost from here to the United Center? I can't.
Not a Chicagoan.
I cannot do it. I can't. So
you would think not.
So check this out. I'm going to preview the Loyola Nevada game with Dan Muller, who is the head coach of the ISU Redbirds. He's going to join me in studio before tip-off because his team played both Loyola and Nevada. So we're going to have a good breakdown of that. We'll send people off to that game. I got White Sox stuff that I want to do on tonight's show. My man Rami Makluf, who is a talk show host in Milwaukee, is going to come and hang out with me for the 7 o'clock hour. Eno Saris of The Athletic is going to join me at 6:40. And then we got all sorts of other stuff. There's going to be a lot of spinning of plates on tonight's show.
Have fun, man. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the games as well. John Rothstein will join us tomorrow to talk college basketball. Thanks to Tyler Chatwood and Lucas Giolito today. David Cruz of Streamwood is our season ticket qualifier for today's show. As always, Nick Shepkowski, Chris Tannehill, Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. That was McNeil and Parkins. Lawrence Holmes is up next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.